Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am the Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. It's ITL. And thank you guys for hanging back out with us on a player debate Thursday. No guests, player debates, but you. We do have your votes, your guesses, as we have got five player debates that we are going to be putting out. We actually put four of them, but we'll be voting on them, we'll be debating them, and we will be seeing what all of you had to say for a couple of the debates. We are also getting your voice in the voicemails. I made the threat last week, and we have a lot more this week, so we'll get through those. And we got some news and notes. Bogman, the All-Star game is very close. That also means a little breaky break coming up soon, as everything is going to kind of reset. We do have a lot of things to get to, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised. No big deal. But today is doing Fantasy Pros leading off, which you guys can check out Monday through Friday. We had a Bogman in the chat. I actually felt like I got nervous. I was like, we have a celebrity in the chat. You were watching and judging. Mm-hmm. I think it upped our game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that Joe noticed that I was there.
He actually didn't until the end. He's like, oh, did you look at this? Look at Bogman's comment. And I'm like, yeah, Joe, I told you 3 seconds ago that Bogman had been watching the whole time and made multiple comments.
Yeah, not the whole time. I was there to catch the end. I mean, we had a recording immediately after it. So a yep. Big recording day for us. Just bought my flight to Seattle for the All-Star game. So I will be sorry. I don't mean to make you jealous, but you're gonna miss Bogman for 5-6 days there from Friday through to the next Wednesday. So we'll have to decide what to do with the show.
Well, I'm actually gone Wednesday through that Friday, so we're really gonna have to figure it out. We're gonna have some issues there and all of that. But yeah, I had these hopes of like the All-Star game, and then I had a real lifeline with one of the places I do stuff with. Real lifeline. I was like, oh my gosh, this makes a lot of sense. And then it was like, no, can't do it. And I was like, there's no money there. And I'm like, damn it. Because I really wanted to do the Futures game. I really wanted to go to the draft, and there's some other cool stuff that we would have done with that.
Well, if I wasn't getting a bunch of stuff for free, I wouldn't be going either. I'm getting a place to stay for free, and I'm getting a flight super cheap. So
yeah, but they're like $500. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When it got nixed for me, I did go on one of those things, and I looked. And I'm like, how much would this be? But your boy ain't flush because nothing is consistent. I'm a very worrier too. Like things aren't bad at all. I'm actually probably doing better than I was before, but like, I'm always like a, anything could stop at any minute type of prepper. Yeah. So I'm a prepper like that. So it's like, I can't justify anything, but I went and looked at flights and I was like $468, but it's still like almost $500 for a round trip to get to Seattle.
Yeah. My boy has got some miles. So it
you got miles?
$38. So
no, it's not. Yep. How do you have miles? How is it $38?
I don't have miles.
Oh, a friend has miles.
Chad has miles. Yeah, my buddy Chad.
I have a friend. I have a friend, Chad. Does he have miles too?
I think he just used all of his miles on this.
Damn it.
I did get a very cheap flight.
That's amazing.
His parents actually live in downtown Seattle, but they're going on a cruise during the All-Star Game weekend. I get a free place to stay. Hey, look, I'm telling you, if I wasn't getting all this free stuff, I probably wouldn't be going.
It's amazing.
So I'm going to have to pay. I mean, the tickets to the game and Home Run Derby, because we waited too long, are expensive. So that is where I'm going to be spending my money. But, you know, at least the annoying stuff I won't have to pay for.
That's pretty nice. All right. Well, yeah. Bogman will be out. You're going to have to give us reports. You're going to have to do all the fun stuff out there. I'll just sit here, you know, lonely in a little cupboard, just being like, it's a draft. Hey, everybody, me, Wells, presenting for. I'm going to be so depressed doing the draft live stream that I'll probably do. I'll just be like, all right, here's the guys. It's going to be great. So
yeah.
I am missing out on it.
I'll just be sending pictures of like me catching the fish. Ugh. In Seattle, you know.
Be like, look, I got a ball. You take a picture. Be like, look, I found Corbin Carroll. Look, it's me and him together. Look at that.
It's me and Corbin. It's me and your best friend.
Look at that. They wanted people in. I'm at the draft, actually. I'm going to be naming a player. I get to do the Diamondbacks.
I was the
pick.
Only guy with the Diamondbacks hat, so I get to come up and announce the pick. So
that's so funny. Well, good. I'm happy. That's cool. That's a thing that Bogman used to do a whole lot. That used to be his thing. So I'm happy that you can do it. I'll just, you know, drink incessantly and
the last time I went
into depression.
The last time I went was the first year that we started the show. That was 2014 was the last All-Star game I went to in Minneapolis. Which was, I mean, it was a lot of fun, but yeah, I mean, you know, not paying rent now, so I can afford to go to the All-Star game again. That's nice. So
that's going to be pretty sweet. You're going to have a blast. So we'll have some ITL things we'll be figuring out there. Maybe some, we'll do some recording ahead of time or whatever.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah. Go see if you can get interviews with all of these people, Bogman. Go ahead, you know.
Well, I'll probably be doing
it. I'm almost afraid to tell fantasy pros that I'm going. They'll be like, all right, we have some stuff for you to do. You
know? Well, that was going to be one of the things, by the way. I was going to be like, I can work. I can do some stuff. I got some ideas, but it didn't end up working out. But friends, hey, maybe we'll get enough throughout the rest of the year so we can make it happen next year on the ITL Army. That is the Patreon. That is the place that you can jump in and be a part, the few, the proud, the ITL Army. Sign up today at InThisLeague.com. You can get access to my dynasty, my prospect ranks. I will tell you, I'm actually also going to be working on a second half redraft ranks. It will be a part of The Athletic, but I will also be posting it on Patreon. So if you're an Athletic member and you're on the fence ever about doing Patreon, well, you got a reason not to do it, I suppose. But if you want to support, there's another thing. I will be doing that probably right around the All-Star break time. I will have a second half rest of season ranks, but I've also got in the very beginning of July, I'll be actually posting the updated prospect and dynasty ranks because I'm going to do a second update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Post MLB draft for the prospect stuff. So there's a lot of updates coming in here for this next month in July. So hopefully you guys consider coming and supporting your boys. The support means a lot. This is a weird time of year. You know, the football people start to come up, but baseball people start to go down. Hopefully not a ton of baseball people go down. So if you want to check it out, InThisLeague.com, and you can get in the groupie rooms, hang out with us, hopefully have so much fun. And I am desperately planning my attack to get my ass back into all the stuff, get back into, I've been quiet in the groupie rooms trying to get straight. I'm desperately trying to make that game plan set. And hopefully through All-Star break, I'm going to be able to find like a really good plan for that. You guys can be a part of it. So join up today in this league.com. Also a shout out to our boys that are sponsoring us, Underdog Fantasy, promo code ITL. Go and sign up today. You're like, Welsh, baseball's halfway through. What are we doing here? I'll tell you what you're doing, pal. You're signing up for ITL with the promo code ITL on Underdog. You're depositing, you're getting free money, and then you're going to do the pick'ems. Then you're going to do the daily drafts, and you're going to have so much fun. That is an order, my friend. Go and download the app today. Use promo code ITL. Support your boys on Underdog. Have a lot of fun. Do drafts with us. Do some pick'ems. We can even get in the Underdog room where we can post some of our pick'em stuff. I love doing them. So there you go. Boggs, there rumors are finally starting to spread. I feel like we haven't done this. And I do so many shows, to the chagrin of probably some people. I'm definitely seeing it a little bit more. I must be getting a little bit more popular because I'm seeing some of it. But I do so many shows that I have a perspective of like what we're talking about. And sometimes one show prepares me for another show. What we have not been talking about are trades and trade rumors. That has been the minimalist of minimalist conversation. There's Joe over here that's
starting
like
starting to get him trickling in like big rumors, you know.
No, but there hasn't even been that. But it's been like Joe's like Shohei Ohtani to the Mets. You know, like there's that over there. And then there's like, you know, teams should make some moves over here. Well, right before we started this up here, John Morrissey puts out a very interesting tweet because there was a rumor earlier today, which I thought was so silly, that was just like, hey, the Cardinals are maybe thinking about trading Paul Goldschmidt, which that almost felt kind of agent-like. It was either
bad idea.
Team. You know, it's one of two things. I know you and I always say trading Paul Goldschmidt at any time never works out. Yeah. I just hope whoever he goes to, Andy Young is a part of the trade again. I just want that to always be a thing. But whether it's his agent or it's the Cardinals, kind of think it's the Cardinals floating that out there, see what's going on. So I saw that and I'm like, okay, sillies. And then I saw some ridiculous, I don't even remember who it was. It was like, it wasn't codified, but it was somebody that was like, who does this trade? And it's Goldie and Freddie Freeman swapped. Like, why the hell would do that trade? It didn't make any sense. Well, John Morrissey puts out a tweet a little bit ago that I think can get some rumors going. It says the Mariners have young pitchers. The Cardinals have young hitters. Sources say they have had dialogue about trade concepts at various points in the last year. So that could also just mean last year. To be clear, the talks have, quote, not progressed, but the fit is obvious, so let's stay tuned. Now, plenty of people, Bob Nightingale, will make absurdly stupid, you know, things like, hey, this has been out there. This seems like it's not so much out of the clouds. This seems like there might be something to it. And there are some logical fits. When you want to talk about young pitching, from Logan Gilbert to Kirby, both probably not available unless it's a blockbuster. You do have Brian Wu. You've got Bryce Miller. They've got Emerson Hancock. They've got guys. They got Prelander Baroa. They do have a lot of guys, and they've got some needs at the major league level. Goldie makes sense, but the first thing that came to my mind, Boggs, when I saw this was Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill, and I know I'm talking a lot here, but when I was at, I happened to be at the Mariners complex during spring when the Canadian WBC team was here. This is totally little anecdotal thing. And they were doing some BP and it was hilarious because they were all wearing their red jumpsuits, their Canadian red jumpsuits. And it was, I think, Larry Walker on the golf cart with Freddie Freeman and Tyler O'Neill. And they were doing BP right at the cages. Well, Larry Walker, Freddie Freeman, they weren't looking at anybody. Tyler O'Neill comes out as a former Mariner and he loves it. He's talking to people he used to know. He's talking to fans, soaking it up. He's signing stuff. He's signing Mariner things for people, absolutely loving it. And then you also think about, I think about that in my head, and I think about all the disaster that's been going on with him and this team and how they've used him. And I just wonder to myself, I don't remember what is the injury status of Tyler O'Neill right now, but I wonder him coming back to this team makes so much sense. They've got a hole at their outfield depth. Kelnick has been struggling. They're using Mike Ford as a DH. They could use some bat help. Paul Goldschmidt would be the huge piece if the Cardinals really wanted to implode that. And they wanted, you know, the Mariners wanted to move guys like Bryce Miller and stuff. But if you want to get more simplistic, they could probably send a Prelander Baroa and something. And then Tyler O'Neill returns to the Mariners. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the update on Tyler O'Neill is that, let's see, June 16th, so about a week ago, Ollie Marmol said that he had been cleared for light baseball activities. So I don't know what that means in the terms of his health, but I think this is one of those situations where, hey, look, as soon as he gets traded, he's fully healthy and ready to play. Look at that. Who would have thought about it, right? So He's obviously butted heads with Marmol as well. So I think this is a trade that just makes sense for everyone. Also like it when you get fired up about a trade, because that's a trade that makes sense. I mean, Goldie would make sense too, but I just feel like the cost would be too much for the Mariners. They're not giving up anybody. So
I think if you traded what's Goldie? We're gonna have to look at Goldie's contract though, because what's Goldie's contract look like? Because if there's control for 2 years or more, and it's gonna be stupid money, you're gonna start looking at like a Bryce Miller. They're gonna have to look long and hard at like a Bryce Miller. If it's 1 or 2 years, and if it's like one year,
2025.
So it's
this year and next year.
And then what does the money look like? It's probably huge dollars.
This year he is making $26 million. Average AAV is $26
million. And then what is next year?
I don't know. I'm just looking on Fangraphs. So
okay.
It just says AAV is $26 million. So maybe okay, 30 at the most. Maybe it goes up four.
You got 50 mil. Let's call it $50 million to some degree. Because he's in 2025?
He is a free agent in 2025. So he's next year only.
Okay, so this year, if it's half the money, it's like $13 million. Next year, let's say it's 30. So it's like $40 million for a year and a half of Goldie. If you look at Soto and the age and stuff, they got like four serviceable pieces, two huge prospects, two players to win now. I think the Cardinals are probably looking at like a big piece of control and then maybe something far off. And that does scream Bryce Miller or Logan Gilbert, probably Bryce Miller. It's like Bryce Miller and maybe Prelander Baroa and then a young, I hate to say it, but like a Gabby Gonzalez or something like that. Like that's a pretty big give, but Goldie changes the total aspect. But it also could be Tyler O'Neill and Goldschmidt, two big hitting pieces, and maybe the Mariners are sending, like I said, Gabby Gonzalez, Bryce Miller, who's a now piece, and then maybe there's something else. I think there's a fit that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely could be a fit. I mean, let's get AJ Pollock off of the Mariners too, by the way. That needs to come true in the next couple weeks here before the All-Star break, because that was my preseason prediction here. But there's trades that make sense. I want to get a good feel about the problem is with the extra team in the playoffs. Every team feels like they're just a couple wins away from being in the mix and they don't want to trade their players. But the Cardinals are one of those truly awful teams this year that have just been played so below expectations. Even they're 13 games under 500, and they're still only 9 games out of first because the Reds are in first in the Central now with this 11-game win streak that they're on. Might be up to 12 as you're listening to this. But, 40 and 35, they're only 5 games over. So, I don't know. If the Cardinals strung together 5 wins in a row, do you think they would still be willing to trade stuff? Or do you think they're like, we're built for the postseason. Let's get there.
No, I think this is why this conversation is popping up, though. I think this is about, like, they're not imminent. Nothing is imminent, but they're starting to have the conversations because it's like, where are we at? They probably have more conversations. I don't think this is happening in the next week or so.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
But the team, I think they're gauging the market and then people are being notified, because if it gets any worse, they're going to start making these moves. I have it hard to believe that Goldie would be the piece that does go, that they would move off. But at the same time, if they want to just revamp, knowing they got young guys, they got Mason Wynn in the wings, you've got Jordan Walker and you've got these young pieces, they got some young pitchers. If they really want to try to retool, then you do need to get assets, and getting a guy like, let's say, Bryce Miller, to be a part of a bigger, younger rotation would make a lot of sense. And then you could get some better prospects, because you have some prospects that can come and play now. Moises Gomez is not a big, exciting guy. Lucan Baker is not a big, exciting guy. But then you're giving opportunity for Juan Yepez. Juan Yepez could maybe play first. And you've got Mason Wynn who can come and play. And like, they've got a lot of like now-ish ready guys that they want to give time. It's just a matter of, are they willing to be the rebuilding team? And I think that's what they're probably battling with. But I'm just throwing out that I think this is pretty fascinating, and this is a pretty close spot. And I think there's a marriage to be had here. And when you see Morrissey going out and tweeting, I think it's more than just like, yeah, they talked before. I think it's a little bit more than that. You know what I mean?
I think so too. Yeah. I think there would have to be renewed interest for something to get reported on.
So that's my guess. My guess is like the small side is Tyler O'Neill and maybe something else. I don't know what that other piece is, if it's a piece of a bullpen or if it's another hitter, but like Tyler O'Neill is a big piece to it. And then that's just a smaller prospect coming back. Or if it's Goldie and O'Neill, then you're starting to look at like Bryce Miller or it's Logan Gilbert. I mean, I have a hard time believing they would trade Logan Gilbert something. I don't really know what it looks like, but you know, it's going to be a lot bigger. And I think we're going to see something like that. Some other news and notes out there, kind of done this a few times, but Gavin Williams, 5 2/3, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts in his major league debut. The damage was done in one inning. That one inning really killed him. And you know, apologies because I've said this on Fantasy Pros and CBS, but at the end of the day, my take on it is command was a huge problem. The stuff is there. He hit the high 90s early on. I think he knew the command was off and he dialed it back because a lot of people got, I got a little bit worried, like, why is he throwing 93, 95? I think he was trying to find his command and his curveball was way off. I think it was a lot of nerves and jitters, but I thought he showed poise. I believe in the stuff. And I think you saw some on the fly adjustments of a really smart pitcher who's going to be able, if they want him to, stay in the rest of the rotation. So I see this as an opportunity for picking him up, or if someone was like, well, this is stink and drops him, pick him back up. I'm very much into Gavin Williams, even though it wasn't the performance of, you know, Emmett Sheehan and not giving up, you know, a hit in the 6 innings or striking out 11 or anything like that. I just think this is the pitcher where he did not have his best stuff in his major league debut. And I thought he adjusted pretty well and showed pretty good poise. And I think he's still the top guy. I don't know if you watched any of that, but I love it.
I didn't get to see a bunch of it, but I, you know, the first start, and we talked about this with Pollock, like coming off injury, coming up to the bigs, that first start is wonky a lot of the time. Sometimes it works out and everything's great. But I don't know. I'm not going to go off of any rookie based on his very first start. You know, a lot of nerves involved there. So let's see what he's got in the next start. The start falling after that, and you know, hope that he doesn't turn into what Brandon Pfaadt was when he came up first. So I think he's going to be fine. Like you said, that high 90s, heat, he just couldn't command, so he had to ratchet back down, which made him more hittable. I think he's going to be okay long term too. So I'm still in on Gavin.
Yeah. Yuri Perez has been a freaking monster.
Dude, and his ERA for June, do you know what it is? Have you looked at it?
I have not looked. I mean, I want to say it's like 0.89 or something like that.
0.41. 0.41.
I think it's going to be lower.
In 22 innings pitched in June, he's given up 1 earned run. One.
Wow.
He has 26 strikeouts and 4 walks. The opposing hitters are hitting 177 with a 217 OBP and 304 slug against him. He has been unbelievable. He's like not even rookie of the month. He's like pitcher of the month here for June. He's been incredible.
He has been nuts. And the big question is like, what the hell do you do? What the hell are you going to end up doing with this guy? Because, you know, they want to limit the innings, but it's beyond even looking like one of the best like rookie pitchers. He just looks like one of the best up and coming overall pitchers, but we can't have that full conversation because it's tied to like, well, they got to taper him back. Like I'm looking at his chart too. I mean, like the curveball is wild where he's able, what is the curveball swing rate? Because he is pinpointing it in 2 massive spots under the zone and on the, I guess this would be the opposite batter side of the zone. And it's got, dude, it has a 61% whiff rate. Let me just, hold on. I want to pull this up with you. Like this stuff, I just want you to see what I'm looking at here. Cause I don't think yet. So look at this right here. So they show the heat map is going to show you like where it's really at. So like, see right here on the outside of the zone and right under, I look at that and I go, man, that looks like a dominant pitch. And look at this 61% whiff rate on the curveball that he's throwing 15% of the time. He has a 40% whiff rate on the slider. Come back over to the slider and look at this right here. No big middle of the zone. He's got 2 spots when he wants to hit it in the zone and out. The changeup isn't really doing a whole bunch. And then he's moving that fastball. You just like the zone just looks pretty. 2 pitches of like 40% or more. which is insane. I just wish he and 50% whiff rate on his changeup too. I don't know, man. I look at this and I go, I wish we could just stop. Let's get back to old school baseball. Let's just let him go. But then he's going to break his arm and he'll be out and he'll never recover for 3 years. And we'll all be like, remember Yuri? You know, it'll be that type of game. So I get it. It's just going to be sad. It's going to be sad when they take him out of the rotation, and it's going to happen at some point, but they're winning and he looks insane. And I just don't know how they're going to manage it now with all these fallbacks. But Johnny Cueto, I don't know if they stopped Johnny Cueto's rehab assignment. It restarted today, or they moved him up or something like that, but he's getting a little bit closer. So let's see what they decide to do. But Yuri Perez, I mean, he's the best pitcher in that rotation.
And yeah, and
I'm saying the best pitcher of that rotation with Sandy Alcantara in there.
And this team is, you know, they're in the wild card spot right now. They're a half game up on Milwaukee the three games up, three and a half games up on Milwaukee for a wild card spot. They're one spot ahead of half a game up on the Dodgers. Like, they are a good team this year. It's hard to take the good pitchers off of the good team. So, you know, I hold a little back. I think you're right. I think eventually they're going to shut him down, but I don't know if it's going to be immediate. They might just let him get to that 150 and then close him down for the season. So
yeah, I wonder if they're going to do like,
leave him in there while he's pitching this well. You cannot take him out of this rotation. No, but they're can't
going
do
to.
It.
I just wonder if they're going to get like real pitch count heavy. And that's why, you know, it's funny. We got player debates going on with some rookies, and I don't have Yuri in there because I think he's impossible. I would love for them to speak on the plan for it, because I think fantasy owners are also put in a really weird situation where it's like, I think they could push him beyond where we think, but then it's just guaranteed. It's like right when the fantasy playoffs go, it's going to be like Yuri Perez sent down, you know, he's shut down, especially if the Marlins start to taper off, and that's going to lead to a much worse situation. But either way, if he had no restrictions, if he was in the Taj Bradley camp, or, you know, even arguably like what we might say to like Andrew Abbott and Gavin Williams, he would be in his own tier. It'd be actually be him and Hunter Brown. Those would be the two guys that would exist together in the pitchers to be let loose range, but he has been awesome. Here's a weird story, and we weren't given enough context to it. I don't know if everybody saw it, but apparently Wander Franco has been benched for like two games for disciplinary reasons. And the quote came out, they were very like, we love Wander and we support him, but they lightly said how he's dealing with struggles is not a good teammate. And I'm guessing he's being an a-hole to his teammates about stuff, and he's getting on their case and he's not acting like a professional right now. And they're keeping it very, very tight to not probably unleash like what he's doing. But that's a bad look.
Well, that's the problem is with that is we're going to find out. There are no secrets these days. You can't have them. So, if you're popular enough, people want the answer, they're going to get it, and we'll figure it out. You know, probably had a fight in the clubhouse with a teammate or something, and or a big shouting match or something. I don't know. I'm sure it's something.
I feel like I could see him and like Randy Arozarena like getting into a big personalities or something like that. And also Wander's still very young, so I could definitely see some veterans that don't want to hear it.
Do you remember? You know, it was against the Diamondbacks when BJ Upton and Evan Longoria got into it in the dugout for Tampa Bay. Do you remember that? That was,
I don't really, but I could see Evan Longoria getting into it.
Well, all he did, so BJ Upton, like, you know, hit a dribbler and then stood at the plate and didn't run it out. And Longoria was pissed, and he walks over and you can see him say it as he passes Upton. He goes, run that one out, man. You got to do it. Something like that. And he said it as he walked past him. So there wasn't like the cameras couldn't have been on him going, you know, oh, Evans, this is a teaching moment. Evans got BJ Upton in the corner talking about it, blah, blah, blah. He did it so casually, which is a nice teammate thing to do. And then Upton just exploded and started screaming at him and pointing at him and going after him. His teammates are holding him back. And Gracie was on the call. Then he goes, yeah, when you get that mad about something, you're usually feeling pretty guilty about it. And and that's exactly what it was. And I wonder if that situation probably internally, just a young guy.
You know, it could be Yandy. It could be Randy Arozarena. It could be, and there's a decent amount of young guys on this team.
It might just be Cash. Cash is a little bit like a Hardo.
I mean, there also could definitely be an element of like how he's treating situations. Like there could be run out stuff. Like you don't know what it is to speculate, but there's this weird little thing going on. To be fair, it is kind of a slump, you know, and I just moved Franco to like, think, 6 on my dynasty ranks. And it's definitely something to monitor. And this is also why I can be very tight ass about some of these rank moves, because it's like both ways. I think I've believed in Wander so much. I believed in who.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Wander was last year in that first month before all the litany of injuries and the wrist stuff. And then this year, he's shown off who he is. The power numbers were big early. They kind of tapered again, but he's gone with batting average and stolen bases like crazy. But I believe he has one homer in the last 30 days and like 11 stolen bases. So the power struggle is there while whatever he's trying to figure out and adjust to. But
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
But nobody.
ITL.
Both ways where it's like, oh man, you make that big move and he struggles. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to come off of it because let's see how he's going to rebound. And that's where the dynasty aspect of
this
it is.
This is not a minor thing. You know what I mean? Because if Kevin Cash was that big of a hard O, he would have benched him after flipping the ball up and all that stuff. Like, you know,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
It isn't that, you know, so it's definitely something internal. So we're going to find out. We'll figure it out pretty soon.
We're going to get it. Nothing's going to hide, baby. All right. Some other notes here, and then we're going to get to the player debates. Zach Gallen, little bit lost on the fastball, 92.6 average on Wednesday. Hasn't been below 93 in any other game this year, yet he was effective. Kind of coming back to that Gavin Williams thing where it's like guy was pumping 97, 98 early, wasn't commanding, took it off. You got to wonder if Gallen is like on the fly this season, adjusting through whatever he's dealing with. He really wants that changeup, by the way, to just dominate. And I wonder how and what he's adjusting to make sure that changeup does what it does. And maybe it's part of the fastball. Like, cause we see velo dips and we're like, oh crap.
This feels like a guy that is going to miss the All-Star game with like a blister. You know what I mean? Like, he needs the break. It feels like here, because his miles per hour on his fastball, I looked through all the starts yesterday, is definitely slipping recently. But today, or yesterday, excuse me, when that game was, it was the first game that he didn't average at least 93 miles per hour on his fastball. So, you know, he had a lot of pop-up outs, a lot of loud outs, and he's been getting those over the last month, which, you know, you and I talked about with Frank a month ago when we redrafted the first two rounds. And I took Cole over Gallen, and he said, I wouldn't take Cole. And I said, well, I don't know. And Gallen like leads the league in war. He's not playing terribly. He's not even playing bad. It's just a little concerning. And it could just be as much as, hey, let's get to the break. And, you know, he rests up and he's good to go for the second half. But something is a little off, which still makes him one of the best pitchers in the league.
Yeah, he's still adjusting. He's got an expected ERA that is a full run higher, by the way. So just keep that in mind. He's a 2.84 ERA, an expected 3.83, an xFIP of 3.41, but his FIP is 2.59, 9.5 K per nine, which is lower than the next two in WAR. He is higher than Framber as far as K per nine. Those are the only four pitchers with a three or higher WAR, but he has the lowest walk percentage of any of them. And he is tied for the second lowest home run percentage, but he is adjusting. I think he's just the most technician of pitchers. So just maybe keep an eye on it. You could argue that there's some sell. There is some sell in his game, I will point out. As much as I don't want to, for redraft, there is some sell in his game, because you do got to wonder if the inconsistencies are going to be there throughout the rest of the year. He will have awesome things. This isn't a Bieber situation, but like, when you have the number one WAR pitcher in baseball, you could get a king's ransom, and you wonder what that ransom looks like. So I just throw that out there to people that I would even be open to that. I got hit. The Fantasy Pros chat lit up today. this is always one of those things where it's like, man, I wish I was very loud and maybe obnoxious about players all the time, but I feel like I'm a realist, and then that takes me away from my celebrations when you can have them, even if it's one day. But Kelly Kirby was very much in appreciation that Byron Buxton hit those homers for me today, because Byron Buxton, who has been kind of a cut in a lot of people, Rocco Baldelli said that Buxton physically is unable to play the outfield. Everybody's panicking. Joe on the show, we got to cut Buxton. We got to cut. And I'm like, oh man. Okay. Well, Byron Buxton 2-for-4 today with 2 homers, 2 RBI, 2 runs. He only raised his average to 215, which is not good, but these were homers 12 and 13 as he is physically unable to play the outfield though. So there's massive worries, and there's an argument that there are some leagues you could probably drop him, but he was just out here to remind you that when that bat's going, it's for real. And maybe he's going to, I don't know, maybe, you know, the thought of like, it's no reality. Can we ever play in the outfield? We'll get the bat going again.
Okay. I don't know how that logic adds up, but okay.
Well, just, there's no focus on defense. You're not going to ever play the outfield. You're just going to be a DH. I don't know. Maybe there was something in that.
Can't physically run, but you're going to be way better.
He had to be released from his own pain of playing the outfield.
He's been released from a lot of fantasy teams as well. So, look, this is the ultimate Buxton game ever. 3 homers in a game just before you cut him, so he can last on your team until the All-Star break and go 1-for-22 until the break or whatever he's going to go. And then, you know, probably 1-for way more than that. But I don't know, man, this is like, you can easily solve this problem by not drafting Byron Buxton. So, don't do that. That's what I would say.
Thank you very much. All right. Quicker news and notes. Brian Reynolds was placed on the IL with lower back inflammation. Yeah. No bueno, especially after I was talking him all up. Bo Bichette scratch with left thumb discomfort on Wednesday. Also no bueno. Jazz Chisholm, I was actually surprised about this one. I don't think I had realized how close we were to that. Jazz Chisholm and Cedric Mullins both started rehab assignments on Tuesday. So all that talk about, you know, Jazz having the surgeries and whatever, still planning to play out the rest of the year. And he's already in rehab assignment, yeah, which
by
is
the way,
great.
Let's take a look at the fairest trade in the history of baseball again and tell me, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Gallen or would you rather have Jazz?
Over time, these things are going to adjust. They're going to weigh out. Of course, like, one side is going to take it. But if you look at the last couple of years, I guess it's always been weighted at Gallen. It's still relatively fair.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just, you know, we're the Diamondbacks fans. Let's brag about our guy here for a second, though we just crapped on him.
I'll do the trade 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah. Every single day over Jazz.
The minute I found out that Gallen saved the names of the reporters that didn't vote for him for Cy Young in his phone, I was like, that's my guy.
How about, do you think MLB The Show will put Gallen on the cover next year? They had Jazz this year.
I don't think he's as exciting.
No, it's probably going to be Acuña.
Almost, on the cover next but year. Not quite as exciting.
How about Corbin?
Two Red Sox debuts today. You had David Hamilton. I think this is the debut. David Hamilton, shortstop, who I've been kind of dismissy about in the minors. He's a late bloomer type of guy. Fast as hell. He was 1-for-3, played shortstop today. He's shown some pop. Eno had talked about how there's been some approach changes with power approaches that the Red Sox have been implementing, and we've seen that with them. He can steal 70 bases. He's a deep league flyer. And then Brandon Walter also, I was dismissive of on CBS. He went 6 2/3, which is awesome, but definitely the Twitter sphere is playing up his performance. Cause when you actually look at the full line, he went 6 2/3, but he gave up 3 earned runs. He walked 3. He gave up a homer and struck out only 2. Like, he's fine. Like, I was telling everybody, I'm not super into him. It's like a 26-year-old pitcher who's at AAA. He's fine, but he's not someone I'm trying to like jump at and pick up. But those were a
not
couple
starting
of
a life with him.
No. Henry Davis, double walk in his major league debut. He's out there. Alek Manoah threw a simulated game on Wednesday and could start getting into minor league action next week, which is key, except, of course, they'll probably throw him over at like A-ball, where we can't get any good data, because all we want is to know, what in God's name did they do there? What did they fix? What pitch did they change? What motion? That's all we're going to be focused on, and we probably won't get it unless you know, someone leaks it, we won't get it until it's AAA, where we can physically go and look at like the StatCast stuff. But that's where we're sitting. And I guess if you want to buy on Manoah, this is a,
He might be a free agent in a bunch of leagues.
No, so. He is. I'm an anarchist. I would go and pick up Manoah before the minor league and stash him on my bench to see if it got fixed, to see if it worked out. That's what I would be doing right now if he's sitting out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially if you have a borderline guy there, just grab and stash. Yeah, I mean, so we'll see. I don't know. I think that it's tough for these guys to solve these problems in the season. This looks like it might be something that trickles into the offseason and he gets more well-adjusted there, but you never know. It could just be a little tweak. A lot of it's yips and mental and all that stuff, too, so... Yeah. Go see a sports shrink and get it worked out.
I'm pretty sure that's not what they did, but if they did, great. I'd love to hear it.
Every team has a sports psychologist.
No, so. I like the idea of like he went to Complex League to just like sit down and talk to a therapist. It feels very Sopranos.
I bet it's a very big part of it, dude.
Yeah, so. Maybe. The last thing real quick before we get to the voicemails, it was a two, but it was going to be very short, but I got this tweet in show and I was answering that I thought was interesting. So, last night, and I'm assuming, you know what, this actually might be from Fantasy Pros now that I'm thinking about it, but last night on CBS, Frank had asked me about Scott McGuff, and he was like, hey, is this the guy? And I laughed because I was like, Frank, you have done this exact bit three different times with every Diamondbacks pitcher. It was like, hey, Andrew Chafin has saved this many. Is this the guy? And I'm like, no, it's going to be a rotation. Miguel Castro, he's done this. Is this the guy? No, they're going to go back to Chafin. Scott McGuff is now doing it. Is this the guy? And I'm like, no, and I was dismissive of it. And then I kind of a very short response on Fantasy Pros, but very. And by the way, this person did a great job because I am so sick of negative stuff right now. I'm so sick of it that they were very nice about how they asked this. It was Reclusive Ring Announcer. In Ring Nuisance is the Twitter handle. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you want to ask someone about their opinion, do the Ted Lasso quote from it's actually from Walt Whitman. You know, be curious, not judgmental. You ask and don't be like, how the hell? Be like, hey, what is your reasoning behind instead of how
everybody's a monster. I'm so sick of the monsters. I'm not putting up with it, but he was very nice. Like, hey, love your work. Love your insight commentary. I wanted clarification on this. So thank you I could use a little bit of positivity lately. And because I was like, I had said Scott McGuff inconsistent. So that's not one of the reasons. Like, do I buy having Scott McGuff right now? Yeah, sure. Do it. Absolutely. While he's saving. But he's been inconsistent and Torrey Lovello switches on a dime. So he goes, I'm confused. And he put up, conveniently, only put up, it looks like June's numbers or whatever. It's 22 strikeouts, 3 saves, 15 innings pitch with a 0 ERA and a 0.4 whip and saying, I'm confused. So I went back to look and the acknowledgement is, I'm definitely biased to early in the year when I watched a lot of Scott McGuff, where he was walking guys like crazy. He was terrible. And I said, you know what? I hadn't properly discounted because in the month of June, Scott McGuff has not given up an earned run, which is crazy. He has not walked a batter, which is crazy. But what I pointed out was May 14th, he had a 5 ERA. Scott McGuff had a 5 ERA May 14th. He had given up 2 earned runs to start off May. He was walking guys. The night before, he gave up an earned run. Things weren't happening. And then he settled down, and he has not given up an earned run since May 14th. So that's where it turned. So my brain, I think, was a little bit outdated because of just the games of watching McGuff. But you're absolutely right. He has been pretty spectacular as of recent. But just historically of early watching and how Lovello has treated the bullpen, I'm just not sold. But that never meant I wasn't going to pick him up. I'm all about picking up hot hands. It's about if you're like, what do you think? Is he the guy the rest of the year? My gut tells you, no, he's not the guy the rest of the year. But I might be wrong. But it doesn't matter if you picked him up because you hold until then.
Right. Yeah. And that's it's exactly what you said. You know, I mean, the whole reason we're even talking about this because I put it on the sheet because I think McGuff has been good enough to finally talk about. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to, you know, after a couple saves and a good couple weeks, I didn't want to be like, Scott McGuff, like, let's give it a month. It's been a month of him being awesome.
I mean, we have to put it on the sheet, though. in this world of stuff, like, we got to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, then it's done. Like, we won't get him. So we don't talk about him. We're like, oh, we got to wait and stuff. Well, we're going to miss the boat. So it's good to acknowledge early. We've got to do that. But the problem is we get into these questions of like...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Now versus the future. And I'll be wrong, and that's okay. I don't believe Scott McGuff is a closer by the end of the year. If he is, I'm wrong. But that didn't change that you wouldn't pick up the guy that's getting saves right now and has been a hot hand. That speaks for itself, and that's great. Those are two different things. My dismissiveness of long-term versus now are two different things. But I guess that also dismisses, like, you being a buyer, if you wanted to go trade for him or something. I guess I would probably be against that, which might be wrong.
Well, I mean, think about what are the Diamondbacks most likely to trade for? It's starting pitching and relief pitching. They do not need hitters. They do not need fielders. They are good on the offensive side of the ball. They need pitching on both ends. So I think the most likely scenario, because the team is playing so well right now, and if they're still well over 10 games over 500 at the break, they're going to be going and getting a closer. And I think it, you know, the answer for most saves on this team could still be Mr. Outside Hire. So, and I think
The bullpen is helping them, because like Dre Jameson is now officially a bullpen piece. I think he could get saves. McGuff has been great for the last month. Chafin's out there. Castro, if you got four good bullpen pieces, Melanson comes back and you got five and you feel good, they turn their sights and focus on starting pitching, which I think is a great idea. I think they should focus on starting pitching. I would love a relief pitcher. It just depends what the market cost looks like. I would love a lockdown closer. But listen, Lavello's got a short time mind span. That's not even the word, like a short attention span to closers. If one guy fails, he just goes back to the other. Yeah. He's been doing this all year. Just McGuff has been pretty damn good as a recent. And I totally discounted that for the long-term conversation. And I will eat all of the McGuffs if in a month from now, he still has a zero ERA and he is the no doubt closer. My bad. There you go. But that was a good question. But I'm guessing he didn't hear this because I think... former ring announcer, by the way, too. I think he's a Fantasy Pros guy. I think it's a Fantasy Pros guy. So you might not hear this, but if you do, very good question. Thank you for how you laid it out. Let's take a break. We come back. It's player debate time. We have got some player debates for you guys. We put them out as polls. So let's talk about it and let's see what the votes look like right here in this league.